This is Singularity, a sacred scripture study. You are listening to episode 24. Today we start chapter 4 with part 1 in A Course in Miracles. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we're not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us with Season 1 as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just as the Course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others. This one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee. Have your pen and paper handy and the text if you have it. Don't forget, a free version is available online at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Now the journey in discovering our truths starts right now. Here we go. Welcome back, Miracle Makers. Thank you for joining me for another episode, and I am so glad that you're taking this time for yourself today. All right, so in today's episode, we're going to start chapter 4, The Illusions of the Ego. Now, before I started my study of part 1, I wanted to get an overall idea of what this chapter was trying to tell us, to have an idea of what truths we might walk away with after studying chapter 4. I know that typically we've gone from part to part. What I've realized doing it this way, I see the one simple truth Course was resurrecting within us. And as your host of these studies, I don't want to lose these simple truths within all of the information in each study. So this inspired me to look over the outline for this chapter, so I did. I read each title for parts 1 through 7, and here's what chapter 4 has in store for us. This week, week 1 of 7, we're going to know what teaching and learning looks like from the right mindset, what it feels like, and how to do it. In week 2, we see why ego is the main reason we are struggling to attain right learning and teaching, or why we find ourselves constantly in and out of right learning and teaching. In week 3, the Course is saying to us, hey, you can have love without conflict. And then part 4 goes another step further in that. Not only can we have love without conflict, that we don't even have to live in conflict at all. That it doesn't have to be this way. In part 5, with this understanding in place, the text takes us back to ego and exposes it for the illusion that it is. Part 6 is going to show us, if we figure this out, if we realize the illusions of the ego, for the illusion they are, and if we understand we can have love without conflict and that it doesn't have to be this way, that we can learn and teach in the right mindset, then we will allow ourselves to receive the rewards of God. And then in part 7, the last part of this chapter, we are shown what can happen if we allow and receive these rewards from God. How we'll experience a world where we communicate with creation and we'll use creation as that language of love. So it's an awesome chapter, and I'm excited about studying it with you. Now again, all this was just from reading the titles of each part of the chapter, so I can only imagine the truths we're going to be uncovering as we dive deep into the details with each episode. Okay, so with that said, let's begin this week's episode with part 1 of chapter 4, Right Teaching and Right Learning. Paragraph 1. The teacher is the learner, and the learner becomes the teacher. When you hear it, it's very simply stated, but what the Course is cluing us in on is profound. Teaching is a learning process that becomes a teaching process. And as part of the learning process, the learner will teach to further their learning. Teachers will do these 4 things. First, a good teacher will focus on their truth until it's clear. Second, they'll teach their truth, becoming even more familiar with them. Third, a good teacher must believe their truth. And fourth, a good teacher believes in the student to recognize, remember, and add to their own truth. Paragraph 2. There is fear in learning. When new information presents itself, it can cause us to question our thought systems. So to protect our thought systems, we avoid new information. This is why some people can even become angry when their beliefs are questioned or contradicted. This anger is really fear, because learning means change. And since change is scary, it's impossible to be seen as a healing. This is because separation was the first experience of change, so now change feels like further separation. While ego is running the show, it's so easy for us to fall for just about anything that feeds its story. However, we don't have to stay trapped here. We're still capable of learning. Ego, though able to learn, will never know. Spirit is knowing, but unable to visualize. And this is why neither will ever understand the other, and why it's impossible for ego and spirit to ever communicate with each other. Ego visualizes, and spirit can't. So ego will never see spirit, and spirit, unable to visualize, can never see ego. They are fundamentally different. This answers the question, why aren't my prayers being answered? Spirit can't intervene with ego's story, making crazy things we experience better or worse. When in ego, our self, intentions, or will are completely the opposite of God's self, intention, or will. With all that said, ego, though holding our potential captive, can never fully keep us from our full potential. Paragraph 3. Ego must be taught. Learning causes fear because we'll no longer need ego once we connect with our truth. The Course points out ego isn't destroyed, it is simply released. And ego should fear this change because truth is an extension of love and ego isn't. We all learn this lesson. In the Course, Jesus tells us that he had to learn it, and because he did, he's able to teach it, teaching us how the thought systems of ego arose, but not as an attack on ego, but to understand ego. Because seeing how these thought systems came to be allows for change. From these changes, we remember our true creation, which is ego's biggest fear. Paragraph 4. At this moment in our journey, the greatest gift we have is teaching and learning, because resurrecting the truth is about shifting our mindset back into alignment with our knowing. And it's teaching and learning that'll allow the mind to change. Just refusing to change our mind doesn't prove the separation didn't happen. When we're dreaming, just because we don't think we're dreaming doesn't mean it's not a dream. In ego, we dream we're separate, and the world we experience is built from this idea. And without us changing our minds, there's no other way we could undo it. The minute we get out of our way and open our mind and change, the truth will lead us gently back to God. Paragraph 5. The goal of a teacher is to be the reminder, reminding the learner of their own truth, teaching so they're no longer needed, because now with their truth remembered, they can teach their own love version of truth. Ego struggles with this because it longs to be needed, and it uses teaching as a way to feel needed. We are extensions of the original author of creation laws, the law set within everything, protecting and ensuring existing systems continue to operate. Now, this is why ego ropes us in, because we, like God, when we create, establish these same laws, protecting and ensuring the systems that we create, including those of egos. So it's completely normal for ego to take full advantage of our gifts using these laws, protecting itself by making its own system of beliefs using our gifts in reverse. However, it's not so normal for us to obey ego's laws, unless we believe them. Ego has no choice because this is how it was designed to work. However, we weren't. We have a choice. Paragraph 6. In the current world of ego, there's a lot of clashing. However, in spirit, nothing clashes. This means if we see the teacher as more than ourselves, then we are seeing with fear, because when we see more in someone else, we are seeing less in ourselves. This is giving our power over to the idea of us all running around separate, instead of being unified and equal. With just a thought, we can connect to spirit, and when we do, spirit will teach and live through us. The ultimate goal being to resurrect our own truth so no teacher is needed. The ego-oriented teacher. Ego's teachers take full credit when they've had an effect on another's ego, or when they see what they've taught has been learned by the student. They take full credit for that. Teaching becomes a way to feed the ego. And when the mind is so focused on teaching from this place, spirit can't work through us. And we aren't really teachers if this is how we teach. Ego's teachings can either be accepted or denied. However, spirit is never received in either of these ways. Spirit is always seen as a teacher. Paragraph 7. Spirit teaches us with patience and doesn't decide our learning limits for us. That's left to be determined by us. Teachers will teach as Spirit does, with patience, repeating lessons until they're learned. But our value isn't determined by what we do. Our value is in what we are, and has already been determined by our Creator. But we really only know our full value when we accept our truth. And until we accept this truth, everything we teach or learn will be based in fear, especially the things feeding into the idea of levels of worth or value. Striving for success or avoiding failure is something created and driven by ego. God has nothing to do with success or failure, because with God, there's no such thing. Instead, our value is constant. Our spirit's worth is in a constant state of perfection because we didn't create our spirit, God did. And to think any different is a delusion. And committing to our belief in truth is impossible with the delusion. Remember, there is nothing we have to say, be, or do that will give us value. This is never a question in truth. However, in ego, it's always questioned. Paragraph 8. Ego is in a constant state of doubt, so it will take full advantage of any chance it gets for some validation. We made it, and on some level, we realize it's not real, so we can't fully trust ego. So for as long as ego exists, it will have doubt. Because it's a scary thing to address, the best way to go about resolving this ego reality without going crazy is to just accept the reality as it is. We are part of the real reality, unchanged, and out of ego's reach, and always well within reach of spirit. When we are afraid, the text tells us to still the ego and remember God is real and we are extensions of Him. We can't let ego try to tell us otherwise. Ego is incapable of reaching something so far beyond its understanding. Paragraph 9. We created fear, not God. We have fear because we chose to create without love or God. We have no peace because we aren't expressing love or God while using our function. God has given us a beautiful function of bringing our love into reality through our creations. We aren't doing this. Ego is intimidated by our function because it's creating reality from love, and ego is making delusions from fear. When we wake up or remember our truth, it will be really hard for us to understand how we could have believed ego. So don't believe ego now. And whenever we try to make ego more believable, we only prolong our inevitable reunion with truth. The text tells us the word inevitable makes ego very uncomfortable, but it makes spirit joyful. God is inevitable. We can't avoid Him any more than He could avoid us. Paragraph 10. Ego is very afraid for us to experience the joy of spirit. Fearing when we do, we'll no longer focus our energy on protecting ego, and instead we'll focus our energy on seeking joy without fear. But fear's the witness to separation, and ego can only exist within this fear and separation. And this is why ego is happy when we are fear-focused instead of joy-driven. We must let go of fear and not listen to ego. Listening to God only, who has no personal gain to have over us, because He knows we are one. Same with spirit He created. When we release ourselves, we release others. We no longer have to present ourselves as a value on a scale or with lies of the ego, nor should we see our brothers in this way. Paragraph 11. The home we've built with ego is unstable. In fact, everything we build with ego is. And this fact will eventually work in our favor. The real news? It's impossible for God to create something unstable, and just as impossible for ego to build something eternal. I love that so much, I'm going to say it again. It's impossible for God to create something unstable, and just as impossible for ego to build something eternal. See, God has already created our home, but for some reason, we choose to leave this stable, worthy home empty, and instead focus our energy trying to keep ego's home up and running. Wasting energy when our true home stands forever and is always ready for us to come home. Paragraph 12. We can't save our brothers through ego, let alone ourselves. However, we can save both through spirit. Spirit sees our own importance from the perspective of the whole, However, ego, who has a lot to learn here, only sees our importance, regardless of the whole. This concept of the whole perspective is a very basic understanding for spirit. This is why it's easy for spirit, because it's very aware that it is truth, and it happily leaves it everywhere. In the Bible, when it talks about the meek inheriting the earth, what it's basically telling us is if we are meek, or viewing our importance from the whole perspective, or as no more important than the whole, it allows our energy to be focused on opening our spiritual sight so we can finally move into the home built for us by our Creator. But we put so much of our energy and focus on ego's house, a house guaranteed to fall. However, if instead we made our focus and energy about being meek or seeking with the good of the whole as most important, this mindset will open the door to our home built by our Creator. Our heavenly home is not only beautiful, it has the quality worthy of honor and respect. It is beyond doubt, beyond physical sight. It stands forever as a symbol indicating the love our Creator has for us. Paragraph 13. Here in the text, Jesus says he can fill in for our ego if we want, but he can't fill in for our spirit. Jesus is compared to a responsible older brother who's looking out for us, but not to be confused as our Creator. Jesus is in charge of looking after our bodies and our egos, if only so that we can move our attention away from them, allowing him to show us their importance. He's able to understand why they feel so important to us because he too was tempted to believe he was a body in this world. Jesus says, let's take this lesson on together so that we can be free together. The goal here is to heal the mind. And to do this, we'll need teachers who are loving and loyal to healing the mind. In the meantime, no worries, because spirit is unfazed by the unhealed mind, holding its own while we heal it. The Course says, in this world, you need not have tribulation because I have overcome the world. That is why you should be of good cheer. Then the Bible reads in John 16:33 a very similar statement. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow, it's incredible to see the Bible with the clarity of the Course and to hear them basically saying the same thing. Which when plainly said is this, Jesus tells us that we can be of the world and not experience the fear or any of its side effects. We should be ecstatic and full of hope because he did it, and with his guidance, we can too. In next week's episode, we're going to talk about what it is that's getting in our way, what's interrupting our flow. Why is it that sometimes we can learn and teach with our right mindset, but then other times we can't? What is it that's pulling us in and out? What's tugging at us and what has us roped in? We're going to talk about all of that and more next week when we talk about the ego and false autonomy. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love to share them with you. My intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. And until next time, keep shining.